welcome to my first episode of Parent Talk, where I'll be meeting experts and discussing topics which are relevant to parents. So today I'm very happy to welcome Maria Newman of Mummy on a Break. Hello, Maria.
Hello.
Thank you very much for joining me today. So first of all, could you tell me a bit about what your role is in supporting parents and families?
Yes, so my mission is to inspire mums to lead their best lives whilst, you know, laughing at the realities of motherhood. And I do this a number of ways. I have a Facebook community where I share lots of information on a daily basis. And I also support that or back it up with my website, my podcast, YouTube channel, you name it. I'm everywhere just putting content out there. And being a busy mum with two young children, you know, I know what it's like to do what I think we've come to know as the mummy juggle. So the content I put out is about basically how to deal with life, because we get thrown curveballs all the time, even if we think, you know, we've got it all under control, or we're at least managing to keep our head above water. So I might put a blog post out about how we can support our children during these uncertain times, because obviously it's very relevant. Or I might share something funny that my children have done, whether it's funny at the time or funny looking at it afterwards. And I also do something called the 7-ingredient challenge, just as a break from the norm, because I love cooking. And, you know, we all have to have a passion in life, and food is mine. And finally, I've also got courses online that help mums to sort of put themselves first, because as you know, when you're in the aeroplane and the air steward say to you, put on your mask before you put on somebody else's oxygen mask. And that's because if we're not feeling our best and if we're not making sure that we're okay, then how would we expect ourselves to be at the right energy levels and okay enough to look after our children, our family? So, you know, I'm there to provide support mainly to mums, but what I do, it, you know, you don't have to be a mum. You can be a dad, a grandparent, an auntie, an uncle. It's information there to be absorbed and to be useful.
Hey, yeah, that sounds great. I think, yeah, definitely I'm guilty of that too, not putting myself first enough, thinking of the little one too much. So now, obviously the lockdown's been a difficult time for everybody, often particularly difficult for children with such a long gap in schooling, so much uncertainty around what's coming next, what's going to happen in September. So what are the main things that you're hearing from parents that children are finding difficult at the moment, and sort of how is that manifesting itself?
So obviously when lockdown first happened, I think from a parent's perspective, it was a case of what, we're going to be stuck all together 24/7. And how am I going to manage doing everything, knowing that the children are with me and I need to do certain things for myself? So I think to start with, there was a lot of panic over, let's go back to it, let's say about the juggling, you know, I'm just about managing to do the juggle when I know that the kids can go to school, and now they're with me, I've gone from juggling what I think are nice little tennis balls to massive watermelons. So, you know, it just, from a parent's point of view, it just became, or seemed to become, a lot more difficult, because all of a sudden, you know, we're having to homeschool, we need to work, we still need to do all the house chores, and there's no escape from it, because we're going to be in the same four walls for we didn't know how long. And I think the kids, actually, when it first happened for them, they were like, yay, no school, I get to stay at home. And it was all, you know, it was all lovely. And then obviously reality sunk in. And I think the worst thing for the kids was that, you know, not being able to see their friends and socialise with anybody else other than their parents, which, you know, is possibly their worst nightmare. You know, I've got to be with my parents all this time. I can't escape. And then also not obviously being able to leave the house other than the one walk, because we know as parents, allowing our children to even just go and run in the garden, if you have a garden, just makes the whole day run more smoothly, because they need fresh air. They need to be able to run around and just get all that vent up frustration needs to come out. So I think from a from a children's point of view, it was to do with not being able to see their friends and not knowing when the end was going to be either. Because, you know, as parents, we couldn't tell them when this was all going to go back to whatever normal is, was. So, you know, there were, to start with, it was all a bed of roses. Oh, isn't this nice? And then I think slowly, similar to when they start school, you know, and when they first start school, everything's okay. And then they go, oh, I'm going to have to go to school until I'm 18. Oh, my word, what a nightmare. I think, you know, it was the same thing. Initially, it's a novelty. Everything is great. And then they start picking up on the, well, you know, what's not so great. Right. So I'm with my parents all the time. I can't leave the house. I can't see my friends or any other member of my family. When is it going to happen? And the constant, like, you know, washing of hands and being really aware of, like, cleanliness, which, you know, for some children, although I think they've taken it on really, really well, again, can start getting to them, like, mentally, because they're thinking, oh my word, you know, I have to wash my hands all the time, or, oh, can I touch this, can I go there, can I do this, can I? And, you know, they start to overthink it. So those are the types of things that I saw a lot of coming out. And you know, as parents, we're there to support them as much as possible, but also not putting the added pressure on ourselves that we have to have all the answers, because in reality, we don't have all the answers. And it's good for us not to have all the answers and to be able to have those conversations with our children. So I know from our household, I try to be as honest as I can with my children, knowing what they can accept and how much honesty they can take in. So we were quite open and honest about what was going on, but very conscious not to say too much, because we didn't want to worry them unnecessarily. But because it's in their face, you know, it's not like before, where you could shield them because they wouldn't see it. Now, you know, our habits have had to change, and the routines have had to change. So, you know, you can't hide stuff. It's just how you manage that conversation. And also, when they do have anxieties, we don't have to fix it. We're not there to fix their problem. You know, I found, especially before lockdown, my daughter was going through quite a bit of anxiety for other things, and I felt the need to, you know, I need to fix this, it needs to be right. But what has worked out better is her coming to her own conclusions. So, you know, if she's been saying, well, you know, mummy, I'm feeling a bit sad, then it's a case of, oh, so why are you feeling sad, and asking them questions to try and to tease it out of them, because they can't always articulate what exactly is wrong, and they can't always tell you what emotions they're going through. So talking about it, if they want to talk about it, because sometimes they don't, and letting them express themselves rather than us going, right, you've fallen over, you're bleeding, let's put a plaster on it. You know, it's just let them come to it in their own time.
Okay, that really, really makes sense. Yeah, that we do tend to sort of want to kind of solve it, but it really makes sense to sort of just help them to come to their own conclusion, you know?
Yeah.
And actually sort of work out the answers for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, it's been a very difficult time for parents as well. So what advice would you give to parents who are finding it difficult to cope with balancing homeschooling and work, and just worrying that they're not doing a good enough job of it?
I know, I think as parents, we're really good at berating ourselves for not doing a good job, rather than sort of getting to the end of the day and going, look, these were the good moments in the day. I have done a good job. And, you know, as parents, our job is to provide a safe and loving home for our children, whatever that might mean to you, because everybody will have their own version of that. I think it's just something we've got to like unlearn, to stop saying we're not good enough and we're not doing a good enough job, because you've just got to look at your children, and if your children are in one piece, and actually you are doing a good job. So thinking about, first of all, I think the teaching side of it. So what I've always said to people is, if you look at the average class size, there are 30 children in your class. And the fact that, you know, in a home, there's an average of 2 children. I don't know, is it still 2.4 children? So the attention that you as a parent are giving you to your 2 children is way more than what they would get in the class. So if they only manage to do 10 minutes of maths, as opposed to, say, half an hour that they might do in a lesson at school, that's like 10 minutes of your time rather than half an hour of the teacher in the class having to manage 30 children, which, you know, if they're lucky, they might get a minute each. So it's putting that in perspective. And also, the school is not expecting you to deliver your child in September being where they would have been if they had been in school. So take the pressure off. Anything you can do with your child is a bonus, because these are uncertain times. You know, nobody knows what's going to happen, and everybody is trying to manage it the best they can with the situation that they're in. I think also trying to adapt your day to accommodate everybody's needs. So for us, because I'm a project manager by trade, I love a plan. So I came up with a routine that meant that my husband can do his work during a certain time of the day. I can get my work done. And the children have also got a bit of a routine as well, just so that we can all have our needs met to a degree. Now, we do have a routine, but I'm not some kind of police officer that's going to be going, right, from 9 until 9:30, this is what I said we'd be doing. You know, I've learned to just relax. And what happens during the day happens during the day. You know, I think there's enough going on without us having to add an extra stick to which we beat ourselves with. So, you know, we have days where home learning goes really, really well and everything's done. And we have days where I go, oh, we didn't really do much learning, did we? And yeah, okay, I reverted to, you can go and watch a bit of television, or you can go and have a bit of tech time. And that's fine as well. You know, just, we need to give ourselves a break, and we know what's okay and what's not okay. The other thing I would say is, because we've been with each other 24/7, it's coming up with a deal with your partner, if you're lucky enough to have a partner, and say, you know, I do need an hour where you lot are not around me, because as much as I love you, I need my personal space, because we're not used to it, are we?
No.
So, you know, if you need an hour, or even if you just need 10 minutes and you just go and lock yourself in the bathroom for 10 minutes, then just go and do it. Don't, you know, nobody's going to turn around and go, oh my goodness, she wanted some time apart from her children, or he wanted some time apart from his children. Whichever, what other people think about what you're doing is A, none of their business, and B, none of your business. You know what's good for you and to keep and maintain your sanity, and also what's good for your family. So we need to be brave enough to actually ignore other people and to do what we think is right. And if what's right is just escaping within the boundaries of where you can escape to, then that's what you need to do. and don't wait until it's too late where, you know, you're just rocking in the corner. If you get to a point where you think, I just need some time, then agree it with whoever, you know, you're living with. Obviously, it's, even if you're a single parent, and obviously depending on the ages of your children, maybe you just, you know, put them in front of the television for half an hour whilst you go somewhere within the house or in the garden and give yourself some space. You know, make that space for yourself and, you know, forget about this, the guilt. Everybody needs their space.
Totally. Yeah, I think that with spending so much time with our children, I think that make a massive difference. Just having, you just need, really need that little bit of time to yourself. And also, as you say, being kinder to yourself, I think is a big part of it. We're generally very good at making ourselves feel guilty as parents, myself included. And thinking we're not doing as good a job as I should be, but actually, yeah, just being a bit nicer to ourselves. Yeah, no, absolutely. Finally, so there are obviously a lot of emotions swirling around at the moment. So a big thing would be, for me as a parent as well, what would you recommend as sort of good ways of helping our children to manage their emotions?
So I think depending on what they're going through, so if you've got an angry child, and I found this with my children, they obviously need to get the emotion out, because to bottle it up is obviously the worst thing that can happen. So to try and restrict them is obviously the opposite of what you should do. As long as they're safe, they're not hurting themselves and they're not hurting other people, let them vent, give them their space. And then when they've calmed down, they will naturally come to you. I think it's also the way in which we talk to our children when they're getting emotional, because, you know, if they raise their voice, then you raise your voice. Then they raise their voice even more, then you raise your voice. And all that happens is nobody's listening to each other. It then just becomes a competition over who can be heard. So what I found is, if I just talk, although obviously inside I might be going, but externally I'm trying very hard to just keep my voice at a normal volume, then you'll find that actually they calm down a lot more quickly, as long as they haven't got to the point where you can't save the situation, they've already exploded. So it's trying to see things not as winning a battle, but just talking through, so that at some point whilst you're talking, actually the emotion naturally is fizzing out. I think managing the emotions anyway has got a lot to do with what's happening in general. So even though we're on the way out of lockdown, obviously the restrictions are easing, it's maintaining some kind of normal. So trying to do activities that before this were normal, whatever that might be for you as a family. So, you know, if you were regularly going out for a bike ride, you can still regularly go out for a bike ride. Now the parks have opened. So if you, every Saturday before, you'd go out to the park, then bring that back in and just try and do things that you would normally do, knowing obviously that there might be some restrictions around it. Taking things back to basics. So whether that's, you know, just sitting down and doing a jigsaw puzzle, or getting into the garden and playing some football, or just keep doing some drawing, just basic activities that don't really need much thought, but you can like focus in on. Opportunities to be silly, because at the moment everything seems really serious. So just, and they'll take their lead from you as well. So if you're serious all the time, they'll, you might not have even recognized it, but they may have naturally become a lot more serious. So, you know, taking the lead, just do silly things, pull silly faces, speak in a silly voice, walk in a silly way, whatever, just to like bring back humour into life. But they do like structure and routine, which doesn't mean, you know, you've got a rigid timetable, but it just makes them feel safe and it makes them feel like they've got control in what is now a really uncertain world. Boredom is fine. It's not our job to entertain our children 24/7. It's actually good for them to get bored because it means that they then naturally will start to be creative. So if we're continuously going, right, now you need to do this, now you could do that, then you're actually dampening their creativity. Whereas children are so much more creative than us adults. So let them be bored, and then eventually they will come up with how not to be bored. And you know, my daughter and my son, they'll come and go to me, oh mummy, I'm bored. And I'll say to them, you can't be bored. You've got things that you can go and do, you know, and as hard as it is, I have to like sit on my hands and go, right, I'm not joining in. You have to go and do something. So, you know, letting them be bored. We've talked about talking. Talking obviously is the best way if they want to talk, because if they don't want to talk, the more you prod them and say, oh no, but I know there's something wrong, darling. Come on, talk to me about it. I'm here to listen. Then they'll just like shut down and they definitely won't talk to you. So if you can get them to talk when they're, you can tell, you know, that they've either withdrawn or they're particularly angry or particularly sad, then try and gently get them to talk about it. And that doesn't necessarily mean going for, you know, the lead question. Oh, you're angry. What's the matter? Just start a conversation about anything. And then slowly you can then start to talk to them about their feelings. And finally, a bit of creativity and a bit of exercise. So, you know, some children are really creative and they get lost in making things, colouring in, drawing, and that's a way of them calming down and focusing on one thing and trying to sort of put all the worries of the world away. Other children just want to go out, like us adults really, just want to go out and vent. And the best way is to go and run around, you know, whether you want to go and play football or get on the bike or go for a walk or whatever, you know, everybody's different. So just looking at ways of helping to sort of calm down and release some of those emotions that might have just been building up over time.
Okay, yeah, that's great. Yeah, we definitely hear I'm so bored a lot, with normally within like 30 seconds of finishing an activity. So, yeah, definitely. I think that's it's really good to just let them get a bit bored and amuse themselves. Mm. And I love they do being silly. I think that's really a great way to go. Just be as silly as we possibly can be. So that's been amazing. Thank you very much for joining me, Maria. It's been lovely to talk to you. So if people want to find out more about what you do, where can they find out more?
Okay, so here's my long list. So on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, you can find me as Mummy on a Break. I also have a YouTube channel, and again, that is Mummy on a Break, and a podcast which is hosted on Anchor, but you can find me on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and Spotify. LinkedIn, I'm Maria A. Newman, and I've also got a website, which again is mummyonabreak.co.uk. And I've got a one-day challenge, which is on the 16th of July or the 18th of July, whichever date suits. And that is how to put yourself first in 5 easy steps. So if you fancy giving yourself a break and focusing on yourself, then please come and join me. It's a one-day challenge, as I've said, but it's spread throughout the day, so you can just dip in and out as you're able, depending on what's going on at home. And I've had some really good feedback from the previous one-day challenges I've done, because like I said, we don't often, as parents, put ourselves at the top of the list. And these challenges just give you an opportunity to think about yourself. And there's nothing wrong with thinking about yourself. It's good for you, not only for your own mental well-being, but if you're filling your cup and looking after yourself, then you're more likely to be the best for the people who are around you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that sounds amazing. I really like the sound of that one day challenge. I definitely should be putting myself first more, I think. So that sounds great. Thank you very much for that, Maria.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's been amazing. So thank you for watching. Hope you found it useful. Next time I'll be talking about how stress impacts learning outcomes and how to reduce stress for your children. So thanks for watching. Thank you, Maria. And have a good week.